is pretty clear about it. When it comes to worshiping him, we are to do so on his terms, not ours. We're supposed to do so according to the way he has laid it out, not how we think it should be. Hi there and welcome. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, who takes us back to Exodus chapter 31, a message he simply titled, The Coming of the Holy Spirit. You see, that's the amazing beauty of all this. When we do come to him, when we do worship him on his terms, when we build the church according to his terms, he promises he'll show up. And that's the encouragement we see today. Here's Pastor Chris on Abounding Grace.
I want you to listen to this. When 2 Samuel 6, the ark is finally brought back to Jerusalem, and David was lifted up, remember, and he's singing and dancing, and he's having the greatest praise moment of his life. He decides, I'm going to build God a house. He's up. And this is what happened in 2 Samuel 7. Now it came to pass, when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains. Then Nathan said to the king, go, do all that's in your heart, for the Lord is with you. But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even to this day, but have moved about in a tent and in a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about with all the children of Israel, have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? That's an interesting moment in the history of David. Such a good intention, wasn't it? He's moving around in this little tent. Let's build him something better. When have I ever commanded it? I commanded a movable temporary tent. Can you permanently put me in a house? Is that what you think? See how dangerous it can be when you say you want to do something for God. You know what we do? We box him in. The very thing that we often get accused of when we say we should do things as God commanded, people always say you're boxing God in. No, 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 you're boxing God in. You're boxing God into your way, and it's dangerous. Motives and intentions, as good as they may seem, actually may end up putting God in the box that we create for him. And we never think about that. You see, we often hear that. Putting God in a box when we say that God only works according to this way or that way, and we've not listened to his word. This is an important point today and a huge application for ministry in the service of the Lord, I believe. The servants of the Lord are merely that, and we often forget that. I forget that. We're merely servants. Servants. We're not building our way with our means, with our wisdom. To me, it's the greatest tragedy that people have accepted that the pastor is sort of the CEO and the vision setter and the goal setter, and the church is run on the pastor's vision. This is not this pastor's vision versus this pastor's vision and that pastor's vision versus this pastor's vision. We all seem we're just going to pick the one that thinks we think has the best vision. Church is not that. And the worst thing that's happened today in the church is that leaders forget who they're serving and who's doing the building. Taking it upon themselves to determine the course and the direction and the future of congregations is a dangerous thing to do. And you have seen churches where the Spirit has effectively moved on from that whole group because they've tried it. The lampstand is gone. And it's slipped into every kind of liberalism and compromise of the Word of God possible. Soon we can easily find ourselves building something that looks nothing like, this is the amazing, and people will accept it, nothing like what God put in place. Servants of the Lord are called by God for the purpose of building and laboring with the material and the direction that He's given us in the Word. You're not building God a house, David. What did God say to David? Now, therefore, this is so important for tonight. Thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep to be a ruler over my house, over Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone and have cut off all your enemies from before you and have made you a great name like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. Nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously, since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused you to rest from all your enemies. And here it is. Also, the Lord tells you, He will make you a house. That should be glaring tonight. I've done it. I chose you. I put you in my kingdom. I made you a name. But the end is, He's going to build you a house. We say things are all of grace for a reason. We really mean that. It's illustrated right here. The Lord is going to appoint someone, David, to build you a house. Was it Solomon? Yes and no. You see, the point that God raised with David is that not even Moses built the house for him to dwell in. Not even Moses. It was temporary and it was constructed according to his design. Bezalel was appointed to build it. I think we need to think about Bezalel for a little bit tonight. You know what his name means? His name means in the shadow of God. It's followed up by saying he was the son of Uri, the son of Light. You know names spoke volumes at this time. The builder here was in the shadow of God and was the son of Light. His assistant, Aholiab, means tent of the father, but you'll love this. He was of the tribe of Judah. Judah. So put this together. God raised up one, notice here, under his shadow, the son of Light, building the tent of the father, of the lion of the tribe of Judah, filled him with the Spirit. For what end? To build this tabernacle according to all that was commanded, because he would be full of wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and workmanship to build the tabernacle just according to specification. Who is this foreshadowing? Well, I hope we know by now. Isaiah 11. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. That the builder of the house is not Moses. The builder of the house is not David. It's not ultimately Solomon. The builder of the house is Jesus. That's the very point of Hebrews 3. Hopefully, it's all put together for you. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, But he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as the Son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. And he just told you what this is all about. The high priest of our confession was appointed. He was faithful over all the house. The Spirit rested upon him, right? Notice that he's this Son of light under the shadow of the Almighty, was sent to build the house. The tabernacle is fulfilled. This is a foreshadowing of something great here. The tabernacle was fulfilled in his body. And think of him in John 1, tabernacling among us. In our flesh, our human nature. A movable tent. And he applies the whole thing by saying that the church is the body of Christ. This house is his body. And what are the materials that make up his body? Well, you'll notice here, Hebrews says, you are his house. If you hold fast to this confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end, you're the house. It's fascinating. The Lord Jesus Christ, the builder of the house, Exodus 31 anticipates this. Lo and behold, who shows up at Pentecost? As soon as he's resurrected, finished the work, is seated, the building project begins, and here comes the Spirit. And he fills, doesn't he? People were filled. The apostles were filled for the great building project. This really is a glorious section. It's not hard for us to grasp. We never had the ability to bring God to us. We don't have the ability or wisdom or the power or understanding to make a dwelling place for him. We just couldn't make it happen. David was rebuked for that thought. God doesn't need anything from us. But we need everything from him. And the gospel of grace is ultimately, you won't build anything for me that ultimately will box me in or bring me to you. But I'll build you a house. I'll build you a house. That's important because we value buildings and we use buildings and we have a building project and we use those things, but we don't use those things to think that we're going to manipulate God or buy God's power somehow. That's happened in the history of the church with these things. I will give you a place. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare the house for you. I'm going to take you there. I'm the builder. I'm the preparer. We realize we have become, as Ephesians says, the dwelling place of God in the Spirit, his people, his body, his church. It's pretty humbling. The temple now are living stones being built up, a spiritual house offering spiritual sacrifices to the praise of the glory of his grace in Christ Jesus. New Testament is constantly using this language to explain realities to us and helping us think about it. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God. This is 2 Corinthians 5. A house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as his guarantee. It's all coming together, isn't it? Let me make tonight, in closing, a great application that helps us as a church tonight as we go forward and think about and be confident in what we're doing, because it all applies that way. The builder, notice here, is God's son, ultimately. You are his building. What happened in Corinth? They forgot this. They forgot this. We remember there was a reason Bezalel and Oholiab were commanded to build just as the Lord commanded. Why? Because any other materials for the building project that were not according to specification would be attack not only on the building project God would accept, but it would be an attack on the Son's work for us. What happened in Corinth? Well, they wanted to do something for God. They had a church in a very radically changing culture that was inundated with all kinds of worldly wisdom. The church was greatly attracted to it. They asked all the questions that we ask today. How can we be relevant? How can we retain the youth? How do we do this? We've got to change with the times. We got to do all these things to retain. And how do we reach the masses? How are we going to be effective? All those questions happened in first century Corinth. Paul comes along in chapter 3 and says, let each one take heed how he builds. Let each one take heed. You get the privilege now as Christians to be a part of a building project of living stones, of people. Jesus is the cornerstone. What did the Lord want them to know? Ministry is not about doing whatever you want to do in the name of Jesus to win the lost. That is not it. That is not it. It's dangerous. Why? Because he says no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. He's the foundation. He has laid it for the building of his house. If you build with the wrong materials, which happens all the time, Paul says you make the cross of no effect. You take the blood out. No more preaching of the cross. That was the primary building material. The preaching of Christ and him crucified. He says, if anyone builds on this foundation, listen to his language, with gold, silver, or precious stones. He's thinking of Exodus 31. But then he adds, he's thinking of Bezalel, but then he adds, wood, hay, straw. Each one's work is going to become clear. If anyone's work on which he has built endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, so as through fire. What's he saying? There are some building with everything that's wrong. The whole history of redemption's told us this problem and cautioned us against this problem. Don't build with things you shouldn't be building with. And we're not talking about wood structures right now. There are perishable materials in the ministry that people are using, depending on human wisdom and not the Word of God. And they're doing ministry. And we just, oh, that's great. That's great. No, it's not great. Nobody's saved in that. Judgment Day is going to reveal that there were many doing kingdom work who were not building with what God commanded. And that's a tragedy. It's a tragedy for those under that kind of ministry. You think of all the waste that happens in Christian ministry. I get you guys for a couple hours a week. It's not rocket science what I'm supposed to do here, right? Paul chided the church to build with that which is lasting. The material is the living Word of God. This is it. This is what we build with. Notice the services are all around this and in this and preaching this and proclaiming this and making this known. The idol of entertainment is the wrong material. This is the material. And if anyone defiles the temple, he says, of God, God will destroy him, for the temple is holy, which temple you are. We build on the foundation Christ has laid with the materials he commanded us to use. So think of how wonderful it is that God has given us a place where we are built up. And I'm thinking of this morning with Psalm 66 and the things that we hear. These things build us up. These things strengthen us in our faith. These things help us as we go forward. And then we're realizing how much glory goes to the one who has given us a ministry of reconciliation to announce the gospel that actually sets people free. Think about how glorious it is of what you're really a part of. And one day you're going to get to see this. Right now we live by faith. One day you're going to get to see this with your eyes. Risen eyes. But until then, we believe and the Spirit is with us. The Spirit has sealed us. It's the ministry of the Spirit, the New Testament calls. And we need to ask Him. There's a reason, boys and girls, and we should do this more. There's a reason when we pray, they used to call it the illumination of the Spirit before the sermon. Where you're asking for the Holy Spirit to bless the building material so that stones are set firm in the project. That's what we should ask for. That you may forever have the Lord as your dwelling place. You know, Moses said that. Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever, you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. You're our dwelling place. Praise Him tonight that He came to rescue you and gave you a place in His kingdom, in the house that He built, and He has a house reserved for you in heaven. Never forget that you have a place by grace and that you share in the building project of the Lord Jesus Christ. May no other foundation be laid than that which has been laid, which is laid by Him. In the power of the Spirit, we go forward in this ministry until He comes again. Take us back to be with Him in the mansion that He's prepared for us forever. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word tonight. And thank You for Your help to us. And thank You for encouraging us with this of the project that You have built and that You are fulfilling and that You are completing. And may we love Your word, O Lord, and love what You're doing. And we're thankful for the places You give us to worship, real buildings, brick and mortar and stone. And we have that great opportunity that could happen here very soon, Lord, as we're planning for that. We thank You for this as a place to worship. But we ultimately know, Lord, that this building project is a people set apart, won by the blood and purchased by the blood of Jesus. May we take care in this place how Your kingdom is built in this local body. And may Your people be strengthened. And may You use us all, Lord, with the gifts. It also says in this section that the Spirit filled and helped all these servants to be about this work. May, Lord, we all have hearts to be active and dutiful in this, to bring glory to Your name and recognize what we're a part of. Thank You, Lord, for Your kingdom and for righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray.
This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Just enough time to leave you with our contact information. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing you're being blessed by this radio program. Reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Questions@agradio.org. If you wish to email us any questions you might have or praise reports, comments about the program, or give us a call, 888-504-8805. By the way, when you visit our website, agradio.org, tons of resource material for you to tap into, as well as links to our other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Again, all at agradio.org. And that phone number, once again, is 888-504-8805. looking to write to us. If you're old school, the address for your envelope is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.